Blog Talk Radio.
So baby, if I die tonight, will my soul ascend to heaven, will it fly tonight? I know I gave you headaches and a couple cries, but I hope you know that it ain't intentional. I was a kid, you know, and kids make bad decisions. Consequences harmful with the cruel world we live in. So cruel it causes sorrow, may I beg thy forgiveness? Who will witness to the faithful songs that I get sings? And even though I ain't the hollows, and my power's in my hand, and my gifts born into heaven, not the lungs of any man. Besides the soldier's fallen nature, I can understand that pressure is heavy, but soldiers try as hard as they can. And when the darkness roars with all of its might, the I give rest a lyric that changes your life. And through God we must astray from paths we keep right, to our future generations, and I can sleep tight. Because to me. So many ways you love me, it was clear to me. When that over, your laughter brings cheer to me. As a love perhaps I found it, it appeared to me. Until my peers to be the kind of love you find eternal. You fight your former fiercer like a chula fluska surfer. The interest of a man and now my heart is set to turn, and stomach churning my inside. And when you roll a smile, hug me late and I lay by my side. So sweet, so heavenly, so passionate, the love we made so sacredly. I hate to up and leave you, but baby, I got to leave you. So many things that I must see to. I be who I be, and who I be has made me music. But the softest place in my heart is still where you is. And I know my name you cannot stand. So now I miss you more than ever then. But baby, is dedicated to all the women, Evan Mikata, where the young man faced the destiny in the way that he was brought up. There's a contrast. I can't catch pebbles in the dark, the violence talks to mine, and suddenly the memory is lost, love. Never forsake my sight, served you all of my life, and now the pain breaks misery every sleepless night. With the thoughts of failure to ever reach the limelight, but I'll be praying for faith, be struggling, send down your light. I just might just light up a switch to fly a kite, but I swore to change the industry before my time is wind up. Find love, send it inside of myself. I pray the Holy Spirit God may come now be my help. And I've wept on paper poems and pray reaping our souls. Only God's love and only pure thoughts of
love, music and night.
My dreams refusing to die. Even my hopes to one day, baby, seeking you and I together.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Conscious Creative on Get Lifted Radio. Woo! I have got to find like hand claps or hoots and hollers or something But thank you all for tuning in this evening, this beautiful Sunday evening. I am one-fourth of your host. I am Love Reigns, Taryn Love Reigns. You can follow me on Twitter at I Am Love Reigns. That's I-A-M-L-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-S. I am here. I'm super, super, super excited today because one of the most beautiful people I know who happens to also be one of the hosts for the Conscious Creative drove all the way up from Miami to be here with me today. So number one, Fetish is here joining me today. So I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself to the people.
Hey, y'all. I'm number one, Fetish, and that's number spelled out. The number one, Fetish with two T's. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you guys are listening to the show today. It's going to be an awesome, amazing one. And now we have Tiffany.
Welcome to the show, righteous people. This is Sage Maiat. That's Sage, S-A-G-E underscore Maiat, M-A-A-T, the billionaire brown girl reminding you that riches are to be found in life forever. Word to Papa Marley. We are very excited to share in your love and light today and always. And again, do want to welcome you to the show. We have some great artists to tell you about today, a lot of great energy, a lot of knowledge to exchange with you, and hope that you all do partake and participate. So, again, welcome to the show.
You're such a show-off.
I know, with all that love and peace and love. It's just so wonderful.
I'm just being me. I'm just being me.
Yes, like, yes, that is you and everybody out there. Yes, that is how Disney is. Hey.
So you mad or no?
Hilarious.
I'm good.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get right into today's topic. But first, I want to remind the callers that are calling in, you can also log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/getliftedradio to listen live online, or you can call in. If you're listening online, you can call in at 347-826-7536. If you want to speak to us or if you want to chime in on the question of the day, I know that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to chime in to today's topic. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to my lovely in-studio co-host for the day. The beautiful number one Fetish is going to go ahead and pose the question of the day.
And before I pose the question of the day, last week we had a good turnout with people calling in, so we want to encourage everybody to call in and get with the conversation. Just the same energy as we had last week. It was an amazing, wonderful energy. So to get right into it, the question of the day has to do with the way lines are pushed on TV and radio and et cetera. Do our youth have the same chance as innocence as we did? And when we talk about that, most of us, you know, we are 80s babies. We were old enough to realize things in the 90s. And so pretty much what we want to know is, do you think that, again, our youth have the same chance as innocence as we did when we were growing up? So that is the question of the day.
All right. Well, I want to say something real quick. We're having some technical difficulties with our fourth host, Marie Birojo. So hopefully we can get that figured out shortly. So we want to make sure that we get her input on today's topic. But Sage Maiat, do you have a take on today's topic?
Bam.
Well, I think we have to start out with, you know, I always have a take on something. I think
right.
We always have to kind of define what is innocence, meaning that they're blameless, guiltless, and, you know, what we expose our youth to. I do think that with cartoons, with BET, most things that we allow our children to watch nowadays, we weren't able to watch when we were younger, probably because, one, a lot of the shows weren't out, and then we were children who went outside and played and created our own shows. So I do think that it's definitely different. I don't think there's a lot we can do about changing everything that's on TV right now. What we may be able to do is sit down and watch TV with our children, teach them to think critically, because they can be exposed to things from a state of innocence even when they're 40 years old, and it can affect them. So if they can think critically about what they're being exposed to and understand the importance of being able to think for themselves and decide what's good for them and be aware of themselves and be confident in their decision-making, I think that'll definitely help offset the effects of it so much. But recently, the way the question came up was there were 2 5-year-olds recently in the news who told their teacher that they were having sex in the bathroom. And the teacher she immediately reported it, and she was suspended with pay, but she was suspended. She had teachers outside of the school who protested. They didn't want her to be suspended. Obviously, she had affected lives. They say she's a great teacher. And so you have to wonder, you know, is the teacher at fault? So what do y'all think? Do y'all think that it's the parents? What do y'all think should be the outcome? I don't think the teacher should have been suspended. I think they definitely should talk to the children. But, again, we don't know what they've been exposed to or what brought that on. But I really like to know what you all think. Love reigns, number one fetish. What do y'all think?
Go ahead.
First off, I just want to go back on as far as the innocence is concerned. I'm a big advocate of go outside. Y'all don't need to be in the house watching TV. The last year I spent in Tallahassee, I didn't even watch TV. The things that are on TV now compared to things that are on TV then are completely different. We're talking about reality TV, which is really not reality. It's complete negativity and dramatic for no reason at all. No morals, no anything. At least, you know, when we had like the Huxtables or when we had shows like what else did we have?
Just the cartoons too.
Even the cartoons. Well, you know, when you think about it, now that we're older, we understand the cartoons more. So it was a little more detailed in the cartoons. But at least we had shows. I know for the Black community, we had many shows that taught us morale and taught us certain things that, you know, we should learn on a daily basis that was more realistic and more positive, more family oriented. And if not, go outside. Our kids were active. You know, they weren't playing video games that, you know, taught you how to kill people and, you know, things of that nature. So I feel like as far as, you know, the innocence is concerned, it's definitely a big difference. But when I do have children, they got to get out. They need to be outside till the lights come on, and that's how that's going to work. As far as you wanted to know, Tiffany, how we feel about the teacher being suspended?
About the entire case. But I want to ask you, before we move forward with that, I do want to ask you, with just sending your children outside, what if your child is really adamant about watching TV? What if it's something where they're just like, but Mommy, I don't want to go outside right now. What happens? Do you allow them to sit and watch TV and you take that time to watch TV with them and maybe discuss what's going on with these people and ask your child what they get from that so you can kind of have an idea, since you're really the first line of defense for your child and you one of the people that they will look up to most. So This kind of opens up the opportunity for you to see, you know, what they're taking from these shows, even though you may know and your opinion may be that it's not reality and that, you know, it's immoral and things like that. Maybe you can teach. So, I mean, how would you handle that?
Well,
if your child still wanted to watch TV,
I think I would be on two sides of it, because I don't have children. I can say, you know, all I want that I will allow them to watch certain shows and et cetera. But I know, you know, once you have children, that kind of changes a little bit. You start to think a little more thoroughly. But I feel like with my children, when I do have children, if there is a show on there that you know, I will sit with my children and watch shows, but shows that I think are appropriate for children. And I think that's like a big difference. If I don't think it's appropriate for my child, you know, something like SpongeBob or something like that, then my child just doesn't get to watch it. And that's really how it's going to be for me, because I realize that the children, not to say that children don't have choices and things of that nature, but I came out just fine with my parents letting me know that they are the parent, I am the child, and I do as my parents say. And I think that now with us, it's like as soon as a child whines about wanting to see this show, even though we know it's not appropriate, just to get our child to not yell about it or cry about it or whatever, we allow them to watch the show. I don't know if me sitting with my child watching a show that is not moral, it has no moral value and everything about it is negative, how I'm going to explain, I can explain to my child that it's negative, but if that's all they see, then it's just kind of like, well, mommy's telling me one thing, however, this is how society works, so how am I to believe what mommy says when all of society, other than my mommy, believes that it's appropriate, you know, mm-hmm. at that point. I think that I will, if I do have children, they will definitely be limited to the, you know, the programs that they do watch, I think at this point. And it's really sad that we have to monitor the things now, you know, that we didn't have to do then, you know, in the 90s and et cetera. But now I feel like I will watch.
So we had to monitor them in the 90s. We had, what was it, the late night show where they got to dance and the naked videos came on at night.
Right. But I understand that, but we did monitor that because I was thinking the other day, I was like, you know, it's so funny because when I first watched New Jack City, I watched that with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was really young when I was watching New Jack City, and, you know, when you think about it now, it's just kind of like, wow, that's real, you know, that's a real brutal movie for, you know, your children to watch, but, you know, then you're looking at it in real life. So that's why I said I can say all these things, however...
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult for me to completely be 100% sure that that's what I would do because I do not have children. But I hope that if I do have to sit with my children to monitor these shows, I can teach them something and they do take it from me before they take it, you know, from society, on society.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, it's really dependent upon, you know, how you and your child's relationship is and it depends on the child you have. You know, I think in all aspects, but as far as, you know, watching TV and monitoring, yes. I think that I would limit the amount of TV that my child watches, and if it's TV that has to be monitored or something where I have to sit, I will explain to my child to the best of my ability, you know, if it is moral or immoral or, you know, whatever. If they do, if they're very adamant about this, mommy, I want to watch TV for a little while, can I watch TV? You know, but and on the other hand, some things my child just is not allowed to watch, and
right.
The answer will be no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, there's just, it's kind of hard to really monitor the way that things are kind of going now as far as media and I mean, with social media and radio and TV, and then someone just brought up a good point on Facebook. Drama is the new reality. Like, that's what the kids see. Like, everywhere they turn, every time you turn on the TV, there's a new drama series, there's a new reality show. And so, you know, that what draws more ratings to these drama realities is the arguing and the bickering and the sex and all of this foolishness that these you have these kids who look up, they look at this, and they think that that's reality. They think that that's what's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be like, you know. You want to say something?
Yeah, I'm sorry, just before I lose this thought. Also, it's just like, what's that, when they have, I don't watch much TV, so I don't know if it's still on. Love and Hip Hop, is Love and Hip Hop still on?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I remember when I first watched Love and Hip Hop, Jim Jones' wife, like when you've seen her, and I'm only saying this because, you know, most times, you know, when we look at the black community, people in media that are black represent our community, right? So when I looked at Jim Jones' wife, I was like, oh, she carries herself so nicely. She dresses so conservative. And then all of a sudden she opened her mouth and she was like punching somebody in their eye, damn near murdering this person, and it's just like, wow, like this is what we have on TV. This is what we have to show for our young women who are watching Real Housewives of Atlanta or, you know, Love and Hip Hop and things like this, and it just seems so dramatic and so, you know, not ladylike and so just, it makes you feel like, or it teaches your children that in order to be successful, you have to be ignorant.
You have to ask and ask.
Mm-hmm. And you have to fight. And you have to fuss. And you have to, you know, go through drama about men or about women or about whatever. And it's just so negative. And it's really difficult. Like, I feel for my child. my especially my daughter, she might not be able to watch TV. Because
But why though? Like, and when you think about yourself, like, I am very different from all of my siblings. I have, my mother has four children, my dad has four children, and I'm very different from all of them. The different things I was exposed to as a child, the different things that I've watched, I've been around the aggressive hood, however you want to label it. Same thing that you're saying is on TV, but I chose what was best for me. Like, I don't know that we give our children enough credit for being capable of being able to choose. And so that's where it comes in to teach them to critically think. Like, are you defined by someone else's actions?
Right.
Or can you think, okay, you know, she's doing that maybe because she's not confident in herself and maybe she feels like acting out this way is the only way to resolve things. I know that there are other ways because, you know, I've seen this. And, I mean, I feel like if they think, like, what if you shelter your child for 10 years and then when you finally start letting them go to sleepovers or things like that, one of their friends decides to watch this show, what do you do then to protect your child? That's why I want to know, like, what values or ways that you teach them to think, like, how does that translate? Because eventually they're going to meet it somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to meet it. And I agree with that completely. I'm just saying I don't know now because I don't have children. And I think that my biggest fear, I mean, of course, because I am a thinker and because I'm really big on thinking for yourself and I'm big on that, but I'm also big, I think my conflict is, like, the discipline and the exposure that I may not want to expose my children to, but also I do want my children to be open-minded. So I think that right now what I'm saying is what I'm feeling right now, but when I have my child and I really learn how to just help them comprehend what's happening and have these talks with my children and et cetera, then maybe it would be completely different. But I do believe also that it'll be a learning process for me just because we're in a different time. You know, then we didn't have what was that MTV when they had the reality show on MTV? That was Real World.
The Real World?
Yeah, The Real World. Mm-hmm. And when we had The Real World, it was that was the only reality TV for several years.
Yeah.
You know, so when we lived at The Real World, and really the drama was, it was still drama, but it wasn't as open and exposed as it is now. So I think that even though we were exposed to certain things, you know, even when I talk about New Jack City or whatever, that was really happening. We're talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta. They are not even housewives.
Right.
You know, like, it's not real. Like, this reality TV is unreal.
Exactly.
The reality TV that we had before was real, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I guess I would have to think twice about, you know, I'd rather expose my children to these things and have these talks with my children before she or he goes out into the world and they have to experience it for themselves because they didn't know. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. It's really difficult. It's really difficult because times have changed. Times have definitely changed.
I think I'm kind of torn. Like, because, like, with me, I grew up very, very, very sheltered. Like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't cross the street by myself. And, hell, I'm 31 years old, and my mom still watches me cross the street. And, you know, there's a lot of things that there's just a lot of things that I wasn't exposed to at a young age. So when I went off to Tallahassee to school, I acted a damn fool. Like, I really did, because I didn't know any better. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, all my friends who had, you know, I mean, just simple things like going to parties. And this is not taking anything away from my mother, because our parents raised us the best way that they know how. And
Absolutely. So
I thank God for my mom and everything that she taught me. But on the flip side, what I'm saying is, it kind of had an adverse effect on me in my adult life, because there was a lot of things that I did not know that I should have known. There was a lot of street sense that I should have known that I just did not know, just because I was sheltered. She wanted to shelter me and keep me from the world so much that I didn't get some of those. You know, sometimes you know how when a child falls, it's like they have to fall in order to know what it feels like to fall. So as far as that's the same thing. You know, it's kind of like, almost like they have to kind of experience the bad things you know, just so they know what it's like, you know what I mean? Because when I got off, when I went to Tallahassee, I literally did everything under the sun because I didn't know about it. I didn't know anything. I mean, my freshman year was horrible because even though
your
I had
freshman year was not horrible. I was there. We had a lot of time.
But it was just crazy because I did all these things that I knew nothing about, whereas my friends, they had done these things in high school. I didn't even go to my first party until I was in 12th grade. I'm 18 years old, and I had my best friend. Her parents were the same way. So her dad, he chaperoned us to the prom in a white minivan, and he was outside of all of the parties.
In a white minivan.
I went to prom. So all my
friends. Did you have to say what type of car it was?
Right,
I went to prom in a white minivan, and my mom made my outfit because she was not buying me no prom dress, so I was looking like Sheba going to my prom.
Not the Queen of Sheba.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I have to find a picture. But what I said all that to say this, like I was sheltered, and then when I finally left home. I did everything that I couldn't do because I was like, well, hell, my mom ain't here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything. And I literally did everything.
And, you know, I think I was the complete opposite a little bit. I wasn't too much sheltered. Like, you know, my parents were always kind of like, you know, coming back and forth, breaking up. Sometimes they were in the house. Sometimes they weren't. So sometimes I was with my father. Sometimes I was with my mother. And so there was a different type of lenience. My father, however, my father didn't allow me to wear skirts or dresses. I didn't wear like my first dress until I went to my prom, I think. And his thing was, and I asked him, when I said, Daddy, you know, I was like, well, why can't I wear, you know, dresses and skirts? And the first thing came out of his mouth was, I knew how I was as a boy, right? And I only say that to say this, that when I say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be with my children, I might be a little too strict, my father had that same concept with me. Like, I'd rather, you know, allow her to be like this little tomboy then allow her to be really, really feminine, you know, because I fear what might happen if she has on a dress or et cetera. Now, at that time, I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't like one of those little slut bags trying to have sex with everybody. You know, that wasn't even on my mind or whatever. But when I say I'm the opposite, when I went to college, I was still wearing, like, I don't think I started becoming feminine until I was in Images modeling troupe at that point. And that was, it took me a few years to get there or whatever. So I think it really depends on the child too. I mean, you have some children who are really, really sheltered and some really just stay sheltered. Like in their mind, it's just, it's right. You know, I've never done it. I don't do it. And that's how I'm going to be. And then some are just like, but I want to experience these things. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that the only way you'll learn is through experience. And that's, you know, that's the truth.
Right.
Way to go.
That's the truth.
Tiffany with the white van.
I'm sorry, what?
You said way to go with
the
white van on Instagram. Thank you. I appreciate it.
that's Love Reigns' ride to the party. Anybody need a ride?
Hey, we need to take a road trip. We need to find us a white van and take a road trip. We got to put like flowers, sunflowers, and peace signs on
this. I'm for it.
They need to bring Scooby-Doo back.
Right. So, okay, we really want to hear from the audience. We have a few people. We have a few people that are listening in. So, if you're listening in online, go ahead and give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. For the callers who have called in, if you want to speak to us or you want to give us your thoughts, press 1 so that we know that you want to talk. We're going to go ahead and go into a little musical break. For those of you that listened in from the very beginning, we played The I Give, Something's Gotta Give. So y'all make sure y'all check him out. Follow him at I Give for Life. I Give for Life. So right about now, I'm thinking that I'm wanting to, I want to go ahead and get into one of my favorite DJs of all time. Not just locally, but worldwide. I want y'all to listen to Mr. Al Pete. This is Weekend featuring Takara Houston. I want to get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. Mr. Al Peach, y'all.
Yo, I wish I had a top to lay it down, but the Pacifica, it stayed down. So I gas it up, glad I have my truck, cause a nigga could be stuck looking broke as fuck. Don't got too much, but your folk gon' stunt. Got a feel for that C-Rock, the mix of my punch. Got big crit, packed div on the bump. Got the black and mild burning to give off the funk. Now I'ma hit these damn streets and see what be cracking and shaking like a dice game. Or maybe scout for a nice thing and see what friend she might bring. Or it can just be her, wanna dig a lane. Either or, I'ma soar, skate, glide, cause there's no gig till the next week flies by. Till then, I wanna see something. Follow me close, cause the pedal I be punching. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I'm steadily hitting the corners. Still looking dope, and I'm dipping like I'm trying to hit the border. Tipping on them shoulders. Handling this drink like a soldier, or this pistol sitting in the holster. Wish a nigga would think they about to get over and fuck up my weekend, man, you damn joking. The sun be potent, my hand be courting, and she dripping from the bottom like a cracked glass on the coaster. So say that scandal shit for Arnold Schwarzer. Not in the mood to be a torch and torture anyone's assistance. And I will make that known, that chilling is a business, man. I let my business stand to the left while I play the other end, putting trouble in the wind. The latitude of my attitude's a 10, and I spot a barbecue, so I'm going for the win. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. Now bullets tick, back on the liquor. Still looking smooth like it's time to take a picture. I might tight nice, you don't really know what hit ya. Till I speed past, at the thoughts get bigger. I am that nigga, cool ass Al, that love to work a wheel, make a lady smile. Who love to take a day, hit the mall and proud. Get the petty, spend some fatty, or hang out with the child. Go cross the butt, man, and view the skyline. Float down Edgewood, pick up to the north side. Pearl World, Phoenix Al, and 103, done seen me cruising. Floating down Mayport Road, then take it back to 45, they jumping like a toad. All from a one day stroll. Yeah, and that's how I go. Come on, I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Yeah, get up, get out, and see some things. Get out and see some things. Come on, Evelyn, flow. Let's go. With me, yeah. How we do?
Alright, welcome back to the Conscious Creative. I am one-fourth of your host, one of your hosts. I am Love Rains, here with number one fetish, mm-hmm. who is here from Miami visiting little old me. And we also have Sage Mayotte all the way out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yo, yo, yo.
So we're, I mean, you know, I think that this is an interesting topic. There's a couple people who are going to email in some questions or some comments. So let's still talk about it. I mean, if you have anything that you want to say or anything that you want to chime in on our topic today as far as our, oh, wait, we have someone. Someone just said, the best way to stay in touch with reality is to unglue the kids from the video games, computers, and television.
Hey,
that's true.
She's that person, whoever you are with me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That is definitely true. I mean, that's what it is. You have to. So for those of you who just joined us, if you don't know, the question of the day is, do our children, do our youth of today have an opportunity at the same opportunity at innocence as we did back in the day? You know, so, you know, keep your questions in, keep coming in, keep your comments coming in. Right now we do have a very, very special guest who has joined us, and we're going to go ahead and bring her in. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and let Sage introduce our special guest of the evening, Yanni. Sage, go ahead and introduce our guest, please.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure. It is an honor to introduce to you. Her name means peace, yet her sound cuts through the silence, luring her audience into a rhythmical space that is freeing. In this space, bodies rock metrically, heads bop acquiescently, and hands wave as if her beats have read their poems. Everything flows when she flows. Yes, her name is Yanni. She is a poet with a message. She is a rapper with a cause. She is a lyricist with a song, and her name means peace. Do want to welcome
Jay.
Yanni and the Peace People to the show.
Hey, family. What's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear
yes,
you.
Yes, we hear you, Yanni. Welcome to the
Good.
Show.
Thank you for having me. So happy to be here, y'all.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. How
are
you feeling?
I feel great. I just finished church service, so that was empowering and invigorating. And so, yeah, just had to run to some silence so I could join in and be here with y'all.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. Thank you. We definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay. And so shall we jump into some questions for you, Yanni? Tell the people about you before we jump into it. I know
sure.
I read a little bit from your bio, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to Yanni than we captured there. So tell the people a little bit more about yourself, Yanni.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I believe in internal peace. And as we look to and achieve internal peace, we're then able to impact those around us and the world around us. And so that's what I'm all about. I'm all about peace. I'm all about love. I'm all about unity and all about bringing people together. And that's pretty much what my mission has been about for some years now. I'm the owner of a business called Peace People LLC and also the founder of the Peace People's Movement, which is all about what I just said, all about peace, all about unity, using the arts and music and community service to bring the masses together. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care how you identify sexually. I don't care if you're old, if you're young. I believe that if we move in the direction of peace, that we can all make the world a better place. And some people may think I'm a little crazy for it and for believing in peace and believing in love, but, I mean, it's my mission and it's my purpose in life. So that's a little more about me. I've traveled around the world spreading this message, and that's what I hope to continue doing, both with my band, Yanni and the Peace People, and then also as a poet, a writer, a preacher, a speaker. Yeah, so that's a little more about me, y'all.
Absolutely. And writer, I know you just tied that into there. Tell us about your book that's coming out, Love Poems for Peace.
Yeah, so this is my next endeavor in an attempt to spread more peace and more love. And if it's okay, I'd like to just read part of the foreword to y'all.
Absolutely.
Basically, I said,
yeah, please do.
Okay, cool. Thanks, y'all. Love Poems for Peace was written with one person in mind, the person who believes it's not too late to change the world. Much of our hope for a better future has left, and it's up to us, the peace people, to bring it back. And so, yeah, that's just what I hope. I hope that it instills a little bit of hope and a little bit of light and a little bit of love in the readers and the people that choose to support the book and support the movement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and we definitely appreciate that. I noticed recently you've had a lot of people sending in the pictures with the heart with them, and I know myself I like to be a part of that and know a little bit more about what I can do. So what tell us a little bit more about that part.
Well, basically I've been having people send me their hearts because we're all about love, you know, and basically one thing I always say is that, like, our hearts are like this hypothetical notion or understanding of what it is to be in relationship and community with each other. And so I've been having people send tangible hearts, and they can get as creative as they want to and send that in, basically saying that we stand for love, we believe that the world should be a more loving place, and also saying that the people that send their hearts are going to do what they can to show more love and express more love to the people that are around them. Sometimes I think we get caught in systemically trying to change how the world is, and basically look to the government and look to politicians and look to some of these leaders to help us change the world. And I don't think that's how it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen with us. And so basically I'm just having people send me their heart, send me your heart, whatever it looks like, whatever it's shaped like, however you want to color it in, wherever you want to be while you have your heart up. We're asking that people send it to our email address so that we can post it and basically say that you stand in solidarity with us as we attempt to spread more love and more light across the globe.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it.
And if I can share where people can send them, our email address is peacepeopleinc@gmail.com. Whoever's listening, you know, if your heart is shining, you know what I'm saying, that heart chakra's on blast, go ahead and send us your heart, and we'll post it and let the world know that you're standing with the peace people in love.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely stand with the peace people. Love, love everything that you're doing. Please do not stop. We definitely need it. And I do want to ask, I know that it probably gets to be challenging with our purpose. We don't grow unless we meet some type of challenge. So what is your inspiration? How do you continue whenever you face things like racism or sexism or, you know, opposition? How do you continue? What's your inspiration?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's so perfect what y'all are talking about today, you know, talking about children and their innocence and the lack thereof. And so the children definitely keep me inspired. I'll do shows for hundreds of thousands of adults, you know, and I'll put on a good show and it'll be great. But really what keeps me inspired and keeps me motivated is when I get to do small sessions with middle school children, elementary school children, high school children, because they get it. They're the ones that still have hope and still believe in a better day and even have solutions to how we can get there. I think I've lost a lot of hope in adults because we've been programmed and we've been trained to think a certain way and think that a change is never, ever going to come. And so the children are definitely the ones who keep me inspired. There were just some children in church today, and we looked at them and we said, you know, we're going to follow you all because you all are closer to the ancestors. Y'all just got here. We've forgotten so much of what it means to be divinely created and divinely inspired and spiritual. And the kids, the children, I believe, are the ones who still got it. So they're my heart, and they're really the ones I do it for. These adults, I can't get them to do anything. I can't get them to do the work, focus on anything past a month. But those children, they remind me why I do it. And I always say if I can make one of their lives better, then it's not in vain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love reigns. I think you have Love Reigns and Number One Fetish Mesmerized. They've been so quiet. Well, y'all
hey, what y'all think? Y'all believe in love? Y'all believe in peace?
We're over here taking it all in, you know, and
good, I'm glad.
I'm listening, and I'm trying to, every time I want to ask a question, you answer that question. So it's really difficult to ask you because you're really expressive in what you're trying to do. And my question, actually, you already answered. I was going to say, do you think that it's more difficult to reach the adults than it is to reach the children, which you just expressed that it is. However, do you think, of course, you can still reach adults. So if you were to just focus, let's say, on the adults, what do you think would have to be done, or what do you think you can do in order to get, you know, the elders or the adults or the people in society in general, the ones that are most negative and don't think about peace and love, because, you know, in the world we live in, it's so negative and it's so aggressive, and everything about us is aggressive. When you watch TV, most people turn a channel when it's too happy or too much love or too witty or whatever the case is, but people will always watch the drama and people will always watch the negativity.
They will.
Ways, you know, when you look at the news, it's so depressing, but the news stations know that you have to put the depressing things on in order for them to keep their ratings up, and it's sad as a society because we are completely, completely negative. So my question is, because I see what you're trying to do, and I think it's wonderful and amazing, you know, what you're doing and what you stand for, what do you think could be done to change the minds of people? And I know reaching our youth is, of course, that's where we have to start. We got to get them while they're young, when they're sponges, but for the ones that are not young, you know, for the ones that are maybe our age, in our late 20s and our early 30s and et cetera, what do you think could be done, or what do you think should be done in order to get in the mindset that love is good and being peaceful is good and being happy is a good thing? You don't always have to be sad and always have to be, you know, negative. And love is not because it hurts. Love is because it makes you feel good. So
that's
my
right.
question
is, well,
go ahead.
Cool. I think the reason why adults don't care and have lost this sort of belief or hope in a better day is because we've been desensitized, and basically that's why all of the hate and all of the drama is uplifted when there's this other side of things that people never see. And so it's almost backwards. It's like everything that's negative is now in the light, and we see it everywhere and is widely accepted.
Natural.
And then everything that is light and is good is in the darkness and is hidden, and we run from it. People run from it. What I believe is that those of us that do believe in being in right relationship with one another, who believe in the connectivity of all of us, those of us who believe in love, just other ways of saying it, I believe that all of us need to come together and figure out how we can be in better relationship and right relationship with one another. My dad is a pastor in New York, and one thing he always said and always taught me was to lead the people in love. And so that's what I think we need to do. We just need to set the example of what it is to be on this side of things, of what it means to be on this side of justice and equality and oneness and unity and right living. And my hope is that as an example of what that is, people will want to come to this side and sort of give up this desensitized nature, this nature that says it's okay to hurt others, this nature that says it's okay to abuse other people, this understanding that says other people don't matter, this individualistic nature that we've somehow taken on when that is not us as a people. We are a communal people. And so my hope is that as we lead the people in love, others will want to join and forget the drama and forget the mess. And truly commit to loving each other and one another.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I agree completely with all of that, man. Someone just said that, you know, they like that quote that you said, lead the people in love. a great prelude to take to heart. So definitely, I do see we have a caller. So caller, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out the last four of your number. Go ahead and let us state your name and let us know where you're calling from. So caller 3693, caller 3693, you are live on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is Mandy. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Mandy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for calling in. What's up?
Oh, nothing. I just like your topic and have the time, so I figured I'd give you a ring.
Okay, cool. Well, what's up? Let us know what's on your mind.
Well, you know, you guys said the topic was, you know, does the youth stand a chance against, like, losing their innocence? I mean, like, I feel like we lost our innocence in our generation pretty early, too. But these kids stand no chances whatsoever. Everything is so serious. Like, everything, I appreciate all the educational stuff. But everything is so informative, and their little brains process so much. And, you know, their stress levels are unreal. Like,
yeah.
You have all these TV shows that are just all it is serious topics, like feelings and emotions. None of it's about games and playing and, you know, just having fun and being able to relax. Like, all of it's just straight stress for 30 minutes at a block at a time. That's why it's so bad when you let your kids, like, watch even the most innocent and tending cartoons. I mean, too much of that shit is just bad for you. But, you know, and then you move on to, like, teenagers, and every single teenage show I've ever seen touches on drugs, touches on sex and stuff like that, you know, and I think we're progressed enough in that department where people are talking about it at least. I mean, I don't know. It's just bad. It drives me insane. I have to really, like, watch what my daughter watches. We watch a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
So,
Somebody definitely. So Yanni, how do you feel about that? Like, how with everything in the media and the way that the media is pretty much taking over our the lives of our children and the lives of our youth and social media especially too. How do we come together as a people? How do we get those kids? How do we get them out of the house? How do we get them, you know, in the streets and playing outside and really straying away from all of the negativity? How do we do that?
Are you asking me?
I was asking Yanni. Yanni, you still there?
Oh, okay.
Yanni, still there? I think we may have lost Yanni. We lost Yanni, so hopefully she'll be able to call back in. She might have had a bad service area. You have something to say?
Yeah, I do want to say that I completely agree with you as far as being so serious. I think we live in a very informative world now, and we forget that it's okay to just be happy and just play and you know, just be kind to one another. So I completely agree with you when it's way too serious. Yes, though, I do also believe that, you know, the information is vital as well, because even when we were younger, we have DARE for the drugs. And
oh, yeah.
So we still have that stuff also. I think, though, we had a balance then, and now we don't have the balance.
Right.
Well, they're also taking so many things. I think we got
that's a train.
That's okay. Yanni, I just brought you back in, but you know, we were just saying that, you know, there's so many things that we had growing up that the youth don't have. They don't even give them an opportunity to have the things that we had. Like, I mean, we had an opportunity. It's like we had an option. We had a choice, you know, whether there were certain things that we did or did not watch. You know, it's almost like they don't have a choice. You know what I mean? They don't have, because everywhere they turn, I mean, even from Disney, you know what I mean? They don't have an option. They don't have the same choices that we did. You know what I mean? So it's like, how do we censor that? You know what I mean? It's almost like we can't. It's almost like we're kind of, it's like a catch-22, you know? And then outside of that, they're taking so many things away from our kids. Mm-hmm. They're taking everything away from them in school. They're taking all the art out of school. They're taking music out of school.
They don't even let kids write cursive.
Right. They're taking so many things away from them. It's almost like they are setting them up for failure, you know. And, and it's like we're trying so hard to fight against all of that, but it's like the more we try to fight against it, the more they do to try to bring us down, you know what I mean, and keep our kids and keep our youth under you know the standard and underneath the level that they need to be, you know what I mean. What else are these kids supposed to do? If they don't have sports, they're taking away sports from the kids. They're taking away PE. You know, I was reading the website for just for Duval County for the on the superintendent's website. And they had a long list of budget proposals that they were going to cut next year. And anything that had an asterisk next to it was something that was definitely getting cut. And one of the things that really struck me was there was an asterisk next to elementary PE, elementary physical education. They are definitely taking away. What are these kids supposed to do? They don't have anything else to do. They want them to sit in the house and be lazy and be bums or go out in the streets and start shooting each other.
It's like society against the truth. As long as we don't know the truth, you can be brainwashed. And I feel like at the end of the day, that's what's happening. Society is dictating what we should and should not know. And at that point, once we don't know, we can be controlled. And that is the whole point and idea of it all at this point, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that we resist is going to persist. So the longer you fight, like you said, love reigns, the more you fight against it, the more that it happens. You're absolutely right. The more things that we resist are exactly what's going to persist and continue to happen around us. I think something that we definitely need is community. Kind of goes back to what Yanni said earlier about depending on the government and depending on these state and local officials and things like that to make those changes we want to have. When we start acting and being that change, there'll be a difference. So if we change the schools that our children go to, those are the things we can do. If we rally together and have something in with the community where we can expose our children to music and expose our children to instruments and have people who can teach them how to play these instruments and have them be active at home and things like that, finding some type of balance with work. I know a lot of people would definitely bring up that as, you know, a possible obstacle holding them back from doing that. But I think those are some things that can help with an actual solution for these things and kind of take ourselves out of being, you know, so down and sad and saying that they're taking, just maybe turning it around and changing our viewpoint of it and seeing what we can give, and then we can definitely see a difference and see our children have the day that we're looking for and the experience that we're looking to give them.
Honestly, I think that if everybody like looks at our grandparents' generation, they did a lot of stuff for free. Everybody wants to get paid. If they just get the whole getting paid aspect out of their minds, a lot of community things can happen. You know, like they can't stop you from hosting like community events where you teach free music. You know, they can't stop you from doing things like that. They can't stop you from offering free things to enhance the community. They can try it by putting ordinances all over the place, but they actually, there's nothing that they can do to stop you. But if they see you rallying and the numbers getting bigger and, like, positive change happening, they will get scared, and they will do everything they can to stomp you. It's just a matter of, like, how much do you actually want to fight. And fighting is more of, like, you know, active, like, enforcement of your beliefs upon the community versus, you know, like, going to city hall meetings and ranting at that BS soapbox that they let you talk on. I mean, none of that does anything. It doesn't do anything. You can't, like, they want you to think the system works, so they invite you to participate in the system, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So the only thing that you have, at that point is your elbow grease, and our generation is the last generation that has elbow grease, and we have to teach the following generations. Otherwise, they are going to be, like you guys said, you know, robots, and they're not going to be able to, you know, compute anything besides logic and reason. And what is life without logic and reason, or with just logic and reason? You know, it's
That's
nothing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I want to quick caller 3938. I see you. We're going to get to you in just a moment. But I wanted to point out something that you said, Mandy, as far as the rallying and all that and getting together. Someone just brought up, we do have another guest in the studio,
we
but
have
he doesn't,
two guests in
he
the
doesn't
studio.
Want to speak. But what he was basically saying that it's also sometimes it's our fault as well, because a lot of times when you take it, and I know this is probably going to bring like a lot of comments,
that's okay.
But whether you like it or not, we also are, we play a role as far as the people that we put in office. You have people who
are
not going to vote, you know, and then they get mad when the people who are in office aren't doing what they wanted them to do. But it's like, well, did you vote? No, I didn't vote. Well, you how can you really be mad about what's going on? You know what I mean? So it's like we also have to take responsibility for our part in that. You know, are we voting? Not only are we rallying, but are we voting? Are we, you know, writing letters to the mayor when he's not doing anything but showing his face in photo ops? You know what I mean?
Right.
So what are we doing other things? We also have to take responsibility for that. So that's a very good point, you know, and you also have to, like I said, you also have to be able to take responsibility as a parent. And agree with everything that you were saying, Mandy, as far as the way that you're raising your daughter. You have to do that. You have to take it upon yourself as a parent to say, okay, this is what I choose to, you know, let my kids in or listen to or watch or whatever. If you got your, if your child is, you know, walking around talking about surfboard and watermelon, then she go to school and sucking some dude off in the bathroom. You can't be mad. You know what I'm saying? Because when she was singing, you know, watermelon and surfboard, you thought it was cute. You know what I mean? And so you have a lot of parents who do that, and then they get mad. They want to go to the school and show and act their ass. Like I've seen it firsthand. My mom taught for 36 years, and it amazed me the number of parents that would come there act the fool, not knowing that their child, they would get mad at my mom and the teachers and the principal, but their child is the one that's acting the complete ass in school. You know what I'm saying?
Mom, whoop my ass at school.
You getting mad at the teachers for what? I knew better. I knew that I did not want my mom coming to my school ever in life. And the few times that she did, one time in particular, she made my teacher cry. And I was like, oh, no, my mama is a bad something. So I did not want her to come to school. But, you know, so I knew better. I knew I had to act right in school.
And I just wanted to touch on two things. One thing Taryn said about voting. Even if you do vote, if you're not doing your research, you don't know who you're voting for, then it's not relevant. It doesn't really matter at that point. And then one of our other guests in here, she did mention that even in the school system, the parents oftentimes rely on the teachers, but they don't want to do anything at home. And if you only have two parents or a limited amount of parents that are pushing, you know, for our children and for the education and for, you know, our children, then it doesn't work. It has to work on, you know, everybody to work together. As a society, that's what we start to do. We start to blame everybody for what's going wrong and what's happening with us, and instead of taking responsibility for our children, taking
right.
responsibility for our youth. You know, when we grew up, the whole community took care of us.
Yep.
Now we rely on other people to take care of us, and then we get upset when, you know, our children are failing or if our children are, you know, getting molested in the daycares and we're not taking part in what's going on with our children.
So, I mean, Yanni, how do you feel about that? Like everything that we just said, you know, with the work that you are doing, how do you tie that into your poetry?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was just about to ask if I could share one of the pieces from the book.
Please.
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. And I'm a little nervous because this is my first time like sharing any of it with anybody.
Oh,
so.
Exclusive. That's what's up.
So we're before you do that, real quick, Mandy. Before you do that, Yanni, Mandy, did you have anything? I don't want to hold you from anything. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, love? Mandy, nope. Maybe she hung up.
I think Mandy may have disconnected.
Mandy,
okay.
Mandy, still there? Going once, going twice. All right.
All right, Mandy. Thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you so much, man, for calling in. I adore you. Y'all follow Mandy Dean. She is awesome at everything that she does in Duval. She's definitely one of the pioneers and places in Duval right now. Johnny, go ahead. Let us know what's up.
Thanks, y'all. And this poem is called Vessels, and basically talking about what we're talking about, how the children, they're not allowed the opportunity to get it and tap in. But anyway, let me just read it. Songs didn't sum up the power of my voice, overtaken by the beat and the drum and the melody. Melancholy me wrote it right, but never heard what I was saying. The music moved me loosely, but the words stir my core. So I wrote this for all of you, the yous that will never receive anything more. I wrote this for all of us, the us's who need more than a selfie to feel our self-worth. I wrote this for them, the them's that think our society is post-racial. I wrote it for the light seekers because darkness was confusing and hope was all I had left. I wrote it for the children because they need to know we love them. They need to know there's a better way, and the revolution won't be tweeted or put in a rap song. The revolution is in your mind, little one, and your heart. Have you stopped to feel it? And I think we're teaching the children to be desensitized just like we were taught, you know. And so I think that it's not solely the responsibility of the parents, because I was told once, and this is not the piece. This is me talking, y'all. This is me just chiming in on the conversation.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to that community thing we keep talking about. Someone told me once that after a child is born, that a large part of the responsibility of the mother is done, and it's now our job to help raise that child. So my thing is, there are a lot of parents that get it, but there are a lot that don't. So I think that in terms of service and in terms of doing the work, what needs to happen is that we need to go and pick these kids up from school once or twice a week and spend a couple hours with them, pull them away from the computer, and actually get them involved in conversations about what's really going on. Not about the housewives, you know what I'm saying, not about love and hip-hop, not about, you know, all of this other madness that they're being exposed to, but about how they can grow and be better people, how they can go out and help a friend, how they can be there for somebody else. And if we do that, that's doing the work. Not just talking about it, but actually going and meeting these kids where they are, picking them up, one or two or three, however many we could fit in our car, taking them to get some pizza, buy one pizza, $8, you know what I'm saying, and actually be there and show up for these kids in ways that their parents may not be able to or have never been taught to.
Absolutely.
Right.
I agree.
That's true. I mean, and you know, and that really brings up a very valid point too. You know, the way that they may not have been taught to. You have some parents who they just weren't taught how to do it. They don't know how to be parents. You know what I mean? So I want to go in. If we have a caller who's been holding for a while, I want to say the last four of your number. So caller 3938. Caller 3938. You are now live. What's your comment or question?
Wow, that's a lot of food for thought in that last segment.
Hey, Gary.
You know, I was calling in. Hey, what's up, Alexis? I was actually calling in because I love the track that the show started going on, which was this idea of, you know, being empowered and being able to do things. And, you know, I'm 43 years old, so I was born in 1970. You know, I've got a niece and a nephew, and my participation in their lives is to really get them away from the computer, get them out into some fresh air, get them into some books. And, you know, the conversation really reminds me when I was growing up, you know, especially when we hit the 80s, and I had a computer. And my parents are very much like, you know, kids of the 60s, you know, and the 1950s. They didn't understand the technology at all. So for them, you know, they were like, wow, why is my son sitting in front of a typewriter attached to a television, you know, for like half the day after doing his homework? And, you know, they were like, you got to get out of the house. You know, you got to go outside. Here's a bike. You know, here's money to go play tennis, you know, join the lacrosse team, go out there and participate. Aren't your friends playing flag football at the park? Get out of the house. And that was their way of coping with it, you know. And I forgot which one of the guests here amongst you ladies said that, you know, your mom was like really hardcore. You know, she went to school and kind of, you know, did her thing. You know, my mom is very much from the, you know, last poets of television, you know, the revolution of the televised. So if I sat in front of the TV for more than an hour, she was already uptight, and she's like, you got to do something else. Read a book, you know, come in here and talk to me. Watch the news if you're going to watch something. So I think my main point, and I want to, you know, definitely say I support this idea that, you know, we're not powerless. There are a lot of things that we can do with kids, and even for ourselves, you know, to not get caught up in the whole rigmarole of this reality TV BS or kids staying in. And, you know, it's a different world, you know, and I think that as an older generation, we've got to realize, too, that the environment in which these kids are growing up in, whether it's social or it's technological or pseudo-post-racial, it's very different from us, just like how we were growing up is very different from our grandparents and our parents. And I think a lot of our responsibility is to try to instill in a younger generation some of the values that we really think are important.
Exactly.
You know, this idea of like, you know, of participating and working hard like you ladies are doing. You know, there was no show like this on the radio. You four got together and decided, hey, we're going to do the show. You know, let's do it and put it out there, put out that positivity, you know. And Yanni, I mean, I love that poem. You know, you're out there making it happen. Yeah, and I think that we can all make it happen, you know. And for every school board that cuts out PE, there's a Boys and Girls Club. For every art program that gets cut out, guess what? Toys R Us still has paint-by-number sets. There's still art books, you know. We can still get that info to our kids. I'm going to leave it with one last thought. My mom always said something very important to me. She goes, you know, the worst thing you can do as a parent is to let the state raise your child because it will not be your child. If we rely on who we, she was like, my mom's a super gangster, man. She's like, we were like little kids saying this to us. We're like, what the hell is she talking about? Now at 43, I'm like, oh, I see what she's talking about. You know, if the state raises your kid, if the person you vote for we believe is ultimately responsible, that kid will grow up, you won't even recognize him or her. You'll be like, what the hell happened to you? Well, that's what happened when, you know, the community didn't get together and raise the kid. The parents didn't know how to do it. And those of us that have the experience and have the wherewithal to help make it happen, it's really part of our social responsibility to make it happen. You know, and we can't cry about it when things go haywire down the line because we just sat back on the couch and just watched the evening news. Oh, the school board cut out this program. Well, we could be down there, even if it's an empty soapbox. You go out there and you make it heard. You never know who's on the other line hearing it or somebody else who's in the room, and you start a little movement of your own to you know, undo what's being done. And that's all I got, ladies. I really enjoy the show. I got to say, I love it.
Thank you.
Wow. That was cool.
Thank you so much, Jared. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I want to say something real quick, you know, in addition to what he said, as far as, like, you got a soapbox or whatever.
Yes.
I used to work at a middle school where it was a huge foreign attendance as far as children. And you give these kids, we had, you know, the American kids, the black and the Caucasian kids, we gave them all kinds of different balls, footballs, basketballs, soccer balls. They were sitting on the fence. Or they over in the corner with some girls, and the boys, you know, over there, they're looking at girls, and the girls over there looking at boys playing football, just kicking the butt. But you give these students who are from other countries, you give them a rock, a string, and two sticks, and they will make a game.
That's right.
They will make a game out of it. So it's definitely a cultural thing as well.
And we do have another guest in the studio with us that did want to comment on something that Jerry did say.
I agree with Jerry. I think these days the state is raising everyone's children because it's easier for that parent. They are deterring. I mean, they're putting the blame on someone else. If they let the state come in and take care of everything, then they're no longer, you know, at fault. It's, oh, my child is this way, or my child didn't get the proper education because the state didn't do what they were, you know, what they said they were going to do.
Playing the blame game.
Right. So, you know, I think it's easier for the parent to allow the state to take over.
Or the parents that don't care to
right. Some
to
parents
be involved.
Don't care enough to be involved. It's the same. Just like with Mandy, I think, earlier, talking about the schools and everything. Parents, they take a step back. Not every parent cares as much as the next one. So, you know, if you only have one parent in that classroom who's complaining and the other ones are just taking a step back saying, oh, somebody else is going to take care of this, nothing gets resolved because only one person isn't going to make the change. We have to come together. It has to be a community thing, a team thing, a combination. Everybody has to get together. Everybody has to care. And, I mean, really, our children are our future. So if we are not caring about them, what are we saying? I mean, we're just kind of giving up. And it's going to be an endless cycle. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. because we're sitting here comparing ourselves to what happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's going to continue to get worse and worse if nobody steps up and makes a change, you know?
Right.
And we have to do it together. Yeah. One person cannot do it.
Yeah. So I think we have another guest online. I'm not sure. I believe that this is Maggie. Maggie, did you have something you wanted to chime in? Nope, Maggie, nope, not there. All right. Yanni, if you could please hold on. We're going to go ahead and go into another break. We're going to get into some more music so people out there don't get restless. Once again, for all of you who are calling in or listening online, if you want to call in and give us your 2 cents, or if you want to hear some more from Yanni, we're gonna pick her brain some more, and we're going to hopefully get her to share some more of her wonderful work with us and give her an opportunity to plug what she's been doing and what she has going on. So for those that are listening in online, if you call 347-826-7536, go ahead and press 1. Let us know that you want to talk to us. And, you know, follow us on Twitter as well, hashtag the conscious creative. Let's get the whole world talking about it. So right now I want to go into, I'm personally biased with this group out of New Orleans. I just love what they do. I think y'all going to hear them again this week. I want y'all to give it up for Tank and the Bangas. Y'all follow them at Tank and the Bangas. That's D-A Bangas. B-A-N. The Bangas. I really want to play, I'm going to play my favorite track from Tank and the Bangas. This is Boxes and Squares. So y'all check out Tank and the Bangas and keep holding on. We have Yanni and the Peace People online. So Tank and the Bangas.
Would have been fish, would have been meat, would have been eggs, would have been greens, would have been milk, would have been fruit, would have been vegetables, would have been soup. I would have been good for you. You are like a box full of everything we're not. I'm tired of putting myself inside you. Trust my love, my hair, my shoes. You are like a square. Oh,
calling in and giving us your point of view and just sharing your mind and your thoughts with us. Go ahead and give us some more, man. I'm itching for some more of Yanni. Let's hit it.
Well, basically what's happening now, the band and I were working on a new album called Recreation or Recreation. Basically, we're trying to recreate and rethink and reimagine how everybody functions and lives in the world. I'm also working on some more books coming out, so y'all, you know, stay with me and keep in touch. And what else? Oh, we're working on a curriculum, basically something that we can send out to people in different parts of the world that want to start doing the work, doing this service work and connecting work, working with children, working with those that are less fortunate. And so coming up with this intensive curriculum that says if you have this age group you're working with or if you're working with all age groups, this is how you can go about building community wherever you are in the world. So, yeah, as I close, as I end, y'all check out my website, whoisyani.com, whoisyani.com. On social media, I'm at Yanni Means Peace. And yeah, I mean, we just got stuff coming, books and music and live shows, and we're trying to plan a tour for the summer. So if you can bring Yanni and the Peace People, if y'all want more peace and if y'all want more love, please email us again at peacepeopleinc@gmail.com. Send us your heart, send us your love, send us your positive energy. And I'm going to end with this piece called I Wrote a Song. So real quick, this is the last verse of it. I wrote a song for us, yeah, us, for times when hope and love weren't enough. My vision of a perfect world just left, so this little light of mine is all that I kept, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, stronger and stronger as the day gets older. You people don't know how powerful you are, while others keep shooting, they're looking for a star, because this is what happens when the young go astray. This is how we live when the old don't pray. Community dies when the men don't stay. The world falls apart when the sisters are away. Hey, I gotta scream, because your life can't be saved. There's blood on our hands, what a mess we've made. Gotta get away, learn how to fight, cause pieces of my soul done died tonight. Like some die with the name, some die nameless. I'll be at peace if you show me where the pain is. Some die with the name, some die nameless. I'll be at peace if you show me where the pain is. So be peace, no peace, live peace, y'all. I love you. And I hope I could come back sometime soon and bring my guys in the band and some other people that I know are dope and doing the work.
Absolutely, Yanni.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for everything that you're continuing to do with the movement. So please keep in touch. Keep moving. Keep doing everything that you're doing, because we need more peacekeepers and peace. Keepers of the peace. That's what I made that up. Keepers of the peace.
Yes,
I mean,
keepers
more
of the
peace.
I love
peace
it,
like Yanni. So we appreciate it.
Thank you,
Yanni.
Thank you. We hope you enjoy the rest of it. Thank you for hanging out with us.
I will. Peace and light, y'all.
Peace, Shoni.
All right, peace.
Should have been like,
man, yo, like, this is crazy, man. Like, we got Facebook blowing up. We got Twitter blowing up. We got the chat blowing up with, like, comments and stuff. So,
what
Alexis,
we got?
Did you want... Alexis has something.
Yeah, I got a text about what we were talking about earlier. I guess before we get into the next segment or move forward, I just wanted to read the text I received, and this is in reference to our question of the day. And he said, the media is playing more of a role in everyday life. I have a sister, and we're raised slightly different, and it shows in our mindsets and our way of most opportune conditions, where they have been the best of both worlds. And at the end of the day, it is ultimately choice. All we can do is get everything. And I say this to express that at the end of the day, I believe it's a healthy combination of shelter and exposure that helps us develop our youth in the we can set them on the proper path. I want to be the first line of defense of my kids so that they have a better idea on how to handle certain situations. Guidance is the key. That's for you, Tiff. And that should be our focus as parents to our youth.
Wow, I like that. I like
yeah.
that, definitely.
So thank you, Dimitri, for sending that.
Thank you, Dimitri. So we got somebody that on Facebook. I thought this was really funny, but it was true, man. Like, I like what he said.
Yeah.
Hold on, let's see. Tiffany, do you have anything while I'm pulling this up?
Man, I'm just ready to bring Yanni back. I wish she could do a third piece. Just thank you so much, everyone who has called in and shared and encouraged and just shared your point of view, and thank you. As far as the media playing a role in our children's lives, definitely, which takes me back to teaching them to be critical thinkers, showing them that they do have a voice, not by just telling them, but by listening. I think one thing that our youth is missing a lot of is our ears. And that's us listening consciously in a way that hears them and not in a way that is just waiting and anticipating our own responses, like really just sitting and listening to where this child is coming from without thinking of our own biases and things like that to come back at them. So I think conversations have gone away with social media. We communicate with emojis. We don't even know how to express our emotions anymore. We express ourselves in letters. We LOL when we're not even really laughing out loud and things like that. So I think the dynamics of a real conscious exchange of energy, sitting down and talking, I think that is missing. So if you see a child, if you can offer them even just a smile, if you can offer them the time of day to sit down and just listen to them and learn from them, and then if there's any love that you can give to that child, definitely give that to that child. Offer your honesty and encourage them to think. Encourage them to give their gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in any way that you can help, it's not always financially. You may not always have the time, but take the time that you do have, and you'll see that more time will manifest, because where energy goes, where your attention flows, you know, wherever your attention is, that's where your energy is going. So if you're focused on the solution, you'll find the solution. If you're focused on the problem, you'll continue to breathe life into the problem. And that's Sage's take.
And I just want to say, Tiffany just said, energy goes where energy flows, right? So
for attention, energy is going to go where your attention is.
Well, there it is. That's what I wanted you to repeat. But I was going to say, also, even though we do this with our children, always remember that if you smile at someone, they will always smile back. So in order to pay it forward, just in light of what we're talking about today, you know, just like with the energy and et cetera, if you pass by somebody, always smile, because they'll always smile back. And I guarantee you that even if all day they're having a messed up day, a shitty day, or they're not feeling well, at that moment they will be happy because somebody smiled at them.
We got Maggie online. She was muted before. The caller that called in, that's on the chat, got you. Go ahead and remember your comments in a minute. We got the lovely creator of Get Lifted Radio on the line. Maggie Love, you
hey.
There?
Yo,
Maggie?
Now.
Oh. What's your two kids,
can you hear
Maggie?
Me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, sorry. Okay. No, I just wanted to talk on the topic real quick. I've been listening in as I've been doing what I've been doing. And I think that as far as, like, the youth, I think a lot of parents forget that when they have kids, their life is no longer about the parent. You know, the life, everything that you do, and I feel like, I don't have kids myself, but I'm just on the outside looking in. If I were to have a child, like, I understand that my life and my decisions are no longer about me. Like, everything I do, it has to be in light of my child and what's going to be better for my child when I'm no longer here. So with that being said, I go back and forth all the time because I want to have a child myself, but I know that where my life is, I'm almost afraid, like, will I be able to sit down with my kid and help with homework? Will I be able to have that ear and listen to them when they have a problem at school or if someone is bullying them or whatever the case may be? I don't want to be the parent that I'm so busy I have to sit my child down in front of TV or make them listen to their MP3 player or whatever the case may be, and they're being taught by basically other individuals other than myself. You know, I hate when people say media or whatever the case may be, because at the end of the day, media is made up of human beings. Human beings are taught no matter who teaches us. So it's like, do you want to be taught, do you want your child to be taught by those who are taught to be robots, or do you want your child to be taught by yourself who thinks freely, who understands the freedom of expression, who understands that a lot of parents don't understand that restriction really hurts your kids. Like the comment that you all read from Facebook, I think that it's very good for kids to be exposed to certain things because, as Taryn was saying, when she went away to college, like, she was totally buck wild because she was, like, sheltered by so much. I have a cousin that lived in my same neighborhood, and I rarely got to see her because her mother felt that it was more protective to be in the house cleaning and smelling bleach all day than to be outside and being active and having a social life amongst the kids in the community and things like that. Like, when you take your kids away from what's going on in the world, number one, that's the lack of social community or communication, it goes downhill. You know, they go to school and they don't know how to react and interact with other kids, and that could be a good or that could be a bad thing. So, I don't know. Media, you can say that it's media's fault, but at the end of the day, like, every generation, there was restrictions or guidelines to media. Even when I was growing up, if you saw the Cosby Kiss, like, that was bad, you know. But our parents explained to us that you don't kiss until you're at a certain age. And I think now you have so many kids that are having kids.
I was
kids
told
because,
if I kissed, I got pregnant.
Yeah, you know, like, you can blame the media. I feel like those who blame the media are cowards and don't want to take responsibility for their lack of parenting.
Yep.
And as far as what Sage Mayette was saying, like, the communication with social media, it's so sad because you have a lot of kids these days that can't go to a job and fill out an application because they type in shorthand because of text messaging.
Yep.
And then you have schools that no longer teach cursive so that, you know, we can't read at a certain level. At the end of the day, I think that we also have to keep in mind that a government plays a strong role on a lot that goes on, and the government wants us in fear. The government wants us to be down as a community, no matter how much we rally and go to city council meetings and whatever the case may be. The black and white thing is always going to be here. The power of having the people of fear and chaos in the world is always going to be here. So you just have to be mindful of those things and understand that these people want us not to be able to survive when you no longer can rely on electricity. Like, kids that don't know how to fish and all they do is know how to fish on a video game, what are they going to do when we don't have power? It's going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's almost like, do you want to teach your kid to be a survivor, or do you want to teach your kid to be that kid that is not going to make it when, you know, things are all said and done. So,
yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Sorry.
That's
I'm done.
No, we definitely appreciate it. You want to teach your children to be a survivor. That is true. So y'all make sure y'all follow Maggie Love at I Am Maggie Love, the manager of everything, So y'all turn up Tuesdays on Tuesdays, of course, on the same station. Call in and check her out. So Maggie, thank you so much. Hopefully see you in a couple hours, my friend.
All right.
All right, peace. So I want to go to our chat, man. Like, there's a couple good points, and the best way to stay in touch with reality is to unglue the kids from a video supplier by Colin Powell. Blah 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 blah. They told me not to say blah blah blah. I wasn't like reading over what the person or skipping what the person said. I had read already.
Just saying.
So this person also said, mind you, my mom was operating under the hardcore belief that the state was not designed to protect kids like you and your brother, black kids. Wow, that's deep.
That's true though,
but it is definitely deep. And he also sent a YouTube video. We don't have time to check it out right now, but we're gonna go into another song after we read these. We had some comments from Facebook. Patricio Del Paz said, "This is what I thought was funny." In response to the question was, "How do we get through to the adults that love and peace is what we need?" So Patricio said, have an event or workshop with free food and get a good-ass PowerPoint followed by a dance party. It's sad, and it's funny, but it's true. Like, anytime you want to get some black folk, especially, at an event.
I don't think it's just a black thing. It's not just a black thing. I'm saying especially.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Not saying that it's just us, house and ever. You say it's going to be some free food. And, you know, we ain't even got to tell them about the PowerPoint. You tell them it's going to be some free food and a DJ. And I bet you it's going to be 100 people, 100 plus people there. That's just what it is, you know. And then Kalindra said to that same question, I think it comes from reminding us what those two words look like. Somewhere very recently, those two words lost their pure meaning to this current generation. We, the adults, the 25 to 50 ages, were the last to actually know what they meant, what they stood for, and how they are to be used. It's become taboo or watered down now. Love songs are just another way to get to work, where once they were used to speak to hearts. That's true. I definitely believe that. Heal relationships and create a clean space, reminding us that we still got it may help. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that, man. Like, I feel like somewhere along the way, like, we definitely lost track. I don't know how we lost track. I don't know where the change came from. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Sage?
I don't think we lost track. I think we're here. You have people like us. We have Yanni and the Peace people. We're still here. We just have to continue to give energy to things like this. I mean, certain things wouldn't be the way that it is if we didn't give energy to it. The only reason why things continue to live is you give energy to it. You keep breathing life into it. So if we continue to bring life and breathe life into things like I said, Yanni and the Peace people and our youth and supporting, you know, what we know we need, if we continue to do that, I mean, I don't see why we won't see that change that all of us know that we can have.
Yeah, and I think we definitely have to not get discouraged, man. Like, we have to understand and realize, like, you know, our youth, they need us. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, they need us. They need us to come and do whatever we can do to help them and just let them know that we're there. They're not lazy. They're not, you know, It's not that they're not wanting to learn. It's just that they want to know that we care. Like, that's it. That's all they want to know is that we care. That's it. And, you know, if they
and caring about them is not forcing them to see things the way that
right.
you want them
exactly.
to see it. It's
listening,
like I said, consciously
right.
listening to them.
Yeah, it's definitely listening to them and getting, you know, their opinions, because they do have an opinion. You know, I was taught that when I was younger, I didn't have an opinion. That, and that's just what it was. I didn't have an opinion about anything because I wasn't old enough to have an opinion. I was a child. So, you know, with that going into the kids and everything that we talked about, kind of going back into the fifth graders who were caught having sex at school, we're going to go ahead and take another break real quick with some music. And then we're going to get into Unwrap for our last 20 minutes of our show. And it's going to tie into everything that we've been talking about today. I got my hood on real quick.
Okay.
I don't understand where that came from.
There's
cause
no
I'm hood. I'm hood.
In your hoodness.
Sage, you agree I'm hood?
No,
oh. Taryn, you're not hood. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
I love you.
I know what.
All right. Friend. All right. I'm your
fine.
Sister. I love you. I must be honest. You are not hood. You're
okay.
welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to go ahead for our unwrapped section. We're going to go ahead and go into a very talented young lady by the name of Remedy. She's originally from Miami. She's out in Orlando doing her thug dizzle right now. So this is Remedy. Y'all follow her. Remedy, at Remedy I am. Excuse me. This is Remedy. By golly, I think he's got it.
Nobody else.
So keep on doing what
once again, that was Remedy. I messed up on her Twitter name earlier, but it's at Remedy Music. That's R-I-M-I-D-I Music, at Remedy Music, for that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. By golly, I think he's got it. Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to go ahead and get into our unwrap section, or segment of the day. And Alexis.
We're going to apologize. We don't have my lovely Marie on with us doing Unwrapped. And also, we're very short of time because we had a great energy throughout the entire show. So we really do appreciate everybody for calling in and talking with us and giving us their input. And I just want to run into it with Unwrapped. In light of everything that we're saying, the question is, at what age do you feel it is appropriate to talk to your children about sex? And also, do you think that the sex talk should be from the father to son and mother to daughter, or mother to son and father to daughter, or both parents with either daughter or son or both children? So that's going to be the question for Unwrapped. Did anybody want to say anything, or you wanted time to think about it before we answer that question?
I don't know.
A version? Wait a minute.
Go ahead, say.
Go ahead, Tiffany.
Well,
I'm in the studio with her.
Well, I think that any conversation, I don't think it's based on gender. I don't think there's an appropriate or inappropriate time. I think that as long as we focus on open lines of honest communication, the time will create itself. Like when your child is ready to talk about sex, they'll be open enough to ask you about it. And as parents, well, I'm not a parent, but I have had the pleasure of parenting children along the way. I think I don't have any birth children, I guess I should say. So in my experience, I have had a child who has come to me and talked to me about sex, a child that's very near and dear to me, and the conversation basically manifested on its own because I've always let her know that, you know, she could come and talk to me about anything. I won't come at her judging her, and we keep it confidential, but I would want her to be just as honest with me. And if there's anything that I didn't know, I was okay with letting her know, you know, I'm not sure, but we can definitely find the answer, or we can find someone who may be able to expound on that particular question that you may have. So whether it's sister to brother or mother to son, father to daughter, or, you know, male to male, female to female, either way, I think it's just important for us to be honest with our children, because that's one of the worst things, like to find out that your parent has been lying to you or hiding something from you, because I feel like it's a sign of disrespect when you lie to someone or you hold things back saying, oh, you're not ready to know this, but the child may have had those questions the entire time, and you've now missed out on that opportunity to have that conversation because you've been holding that child back based on your own fears. So I think with the timing to tell your child about sex, I think you'll know, you and your child will both know, and they'll be open to coming with you, if you've covered those grounds of letting your child know they can come and talk to you about anything, and not being afraid to ask your child, too. If you feel like they're having sex, you know, ask them, you know, have you thought about sex? I see you listening to this music. What does this song mean to you? Or, you know, what do you think about this? And just be open. Try not to be so much of parent-child, like dictator to your child, and just let them know that they're human and they have a voice. Like Love Rain said earlier, you know, she was taught as a child she didn't have a voice. So I'm pretty sure there were a lot of questions she felt weird about bringing to her mom, and maybe she went without having questions answered for a very long time because of that barrier that was placed there by well-meaning adults, but at the same time it was a barrier. And we don't blame the parents, but we do see where faults have been, you know, mistakes have been made, and we can, you know, now that we know better, we'll do better. So that's right. My take on letting a child know about sex.
I want to say I never had a sex talk, now that I think about it. I
My parents never had the sex, and I am sexual, boy, let me tell you. And I wonder, just sitting here thinking about it, I wonder if I'm this sexual because I didn't have a sex talk. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I never had the sex talk. However, my goddaughter is 9, right? And a few weeks ago, we had, like, you know, our girls' day or whatever. And lately, she's been, you know, we talk. We talk all the time. I'm very open with her. I like to be completely open with her, you know, and she asks me all the weirdest questions, and I'm just kind of like, oh, my God, I know I have to answer them, but I answer them. And we have the boy talk. And I was like, oh, Jesus, please don't ask me about sex. Please don't ask me about sex. But the more that I think about it and the more I talk about it, once we start talking about the boys and liking them and kissing them and all these other things,
or
we definitely, you know, we def or the girls, yeah, or if, you know, if she decides, you know, to talk about the girls too, and that's cool, we have to have the sex talk. And she'll be 10 in a few weeks. And I think that, like, you know, like Tiffany said, if you'll know when you need to have that talk with your children, because one thing, especially the girls, it's a little difficult, I think, with the boys because they don't talk as much. You know, the boys are just kind of like, ew, I don't want to talk about girls. I don't want to talk about kissing, you know, because your mommy or your daddy or whatever the case is. But the girls will definitely ask. You know, you can tell when the girls get to that point where it's like, well, mommy, you know, such and such, Timmy likes me, and, you know, he tries to kiss me or whatever his name is. But, you know, and so I think with the girls especially, so for me, I think as far as the age, like Tiffany said, we'll know when it's time to talk. And I know for me and my baby need to have that talk, and she'll be just about 10. And from my understanding, I think the children start now is they're starting at 8. No, well, yeah, it feels like they're starting at kindergarten to start having sex, but 8, they're starting to have sex.
What?
Yeah. It's like 8 years old, and to us, we're just like,
we're not 8.
We're in denial. Yes, we're definitely in denial that it's that young. But and you know, when I was in high school,
I wasn't aware.
Yes, it's 8 years for the children to start having sex.
That's a statistic, though, right?
That's a statistic. Yeah.
I want to point out real quick some comments that are on the chat. First, going back to a previous point we made. Great show today, my heart go. This is Enzo 23. I'm sorry, this is No One Zero. Great show today. My heart goes out to the youth of today and the parents who are raising them or delegating the responsibility to the state. And then Enzo 23 said, both parents have a lot to add to the talk. Gender actually does come into play because men and women approach sex differently, which I definitely agree. At least that first time encounter and the feelings that arise, I vote for both parents at different times. How do you feel about that, Tiffany? Both parents at different times.
It goes back to, you know, the opportunity is going to manifest itself if my child takes me and I guess in my case it would be same sex, but if I were to have a husband and my child took us to dinner or we took him to dinner and wanted to have the talk, I don't know that one of us would need to get up and leave, but I definitely do think that it would be beneficial. I can see why, you know, how, you know, dad may be able to have a conversation with him when mom's not around and say some things that he wouldn't say the same way in front of, you know, in front of mom and vice versa with mom. She may express things a little bit different when daddy is not around and things like that. So I just think the right questions will be asked, and have parents not forget to ask questions as well, and let your child know that you don't know everything. So that makes them hungry for knowledge and makes them want to think and read and expound on the questions they may have. But I just think keeping it open and making sure your child can come to you and have that conversation is the biggest part of it all. And then how that conversation is had, by all means, definitely give different environments for that conversation to be had so that you can make sure you're communicating what you want to get to your child. And the same to your child, so that they're comfortable with communicating whatever it is they have to say as well. So I definitely agree.
And real quick, because we don't have much time, but we looked up some statistics, and the Netherlands have the lowest rate of births and abortions among teenagers compared to countries with higher teenage birth rates. The Dutch have a higher average age at intercourse and increased level of contraception. With that being said, when we talk about our children, there are other steps that you're going to want to take. You're going to talk about the sex and the birds and the bees and however you want to express it to your children. But at that point, you also want to talk about, protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's not because, we're trying to control them mentally. But when you're a child, when you have children as a child, one, you don't know how to raise a child because you're a child yourself. And two, it is difficult for you to go to school and have time to do all the things that you want to do. It's difficult to be a child to have a child and be a child.
Right, that's true.
Right? If that makes sense? So we want to teach them at that point about STDs. And if you're going to do it, because remember, we were young ones.
Right.
We had sex when we were ready to have sex, whether our parents had that talk with us or not. And at the end of the day, we know as children, we spend part of our time at home and the rest of our time out of our home, meaning that we have time to do whatever it is we want to do before we get home. So you know that your children are going to do whatever it is that your children want to do. So if they're going to do it, at least teach them how to do it right. So using contraceptive, teaching them about STDs and things of that nature. And yes, maybe you want to scare them a little because STDs are real, okay? Getting pregnant is real. So some people, are against, the whole putting your child on birth control because you feel it's going to make your child want to go have sex more. But if you explain to your child, okay, you're on birth control because, if you get pregnant, these are the things that can happen. These are what can prevent you. Mm-hmm. And we have somebody in the studio today that just wants to speak really quickly before the show ends. Go ahead, Abu.
We have 2 minutes.
I wanna say something about that, too.
Okay. Okay, Tiff, go.
No. Whoever's in the studio,
Abu.
Go for it.
All right, go ahead, Abu.
We have Abu, and he's been wanting to say something all evening.
Not really, because she's been saying it for me. But then again, just because you're on birth control doesn't mean you have to have sex.
True.
So the first step is, let's say you have a female, a daughter. You put her on birth control for her own safety. If you get pregnant at a young age, it's hard to attain certain things in life, whether that's educational goals or career goals or whatever it is. So you need the time to be a kid. When I say be a kid as well. When I say be a kid, it's well beyond 18, 19, 20, 21, 25 even. You have children when you're ready to have children. But till that point in time, you have to put yourself first. And the way you put yourself first is by not getting any kids. Because if you do have kids, then you become second at that point, as you should be.
That's
your
true.
Priority should be the child at that moment in time. Now, the sex talk is not easy, so we're not going to fool anybody on that. It's hard to have that conversation, but it needs to be done. How do you do it? That's up to you and your particular kid and when you feel that they're ready for it. But by all means, I know it's scary for everybody, no matter who you are, no matter how open the lines of communication might be.
But you got to have the talk. You still right. have to have the talk.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So thank you, Abu. We appreciate it. So Tiffany,
go
ahead.
You got like 50 seconds.
I can narrow it down to this. Always hold your child responsible for the decisions that they make. Don't go and put your child on child support. Don't go and put your child on birth control. Birth control doesn't do a whole lot to regulate the woman's hormones, and I think so much is going on in women's health right now. We don't need to push these contraceptives while we don't want our children to get diseases and things like that.
There's
we can teach them that, but we also have to make them be responsible for themselves.
All right, so we're going to close out with Danny Cassette, Beautiful Indoor, y'all.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good night.
Peace.
I've responded to change with lies and omit my prior cries. I never fell into justice or time. Depression I can't blame for the crime. 'Cause you stayed a true lover of mine.